This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and we got lots to talk about this hour. Plus, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 877-726-8255. You can come directly into the doctor's office and pose a question to me about medicine, nutrition, anything that's on your mind that has to do with intelligent medicine. 877-726-TALK is our number for this hour. And we got lots and lots of stuff to cover. And in a moment, I'm going to talk to you about the extraordinary benefits of resveratrol, and a fascinating new study about a way to use resveratrol to prevent those stents that many people are getting from clogging up and closing down. That's a big problem in medicine. We put the stents in, but they close down within a couple of years, and it's been something that has stymied cardiologists for many, many years. But first, let me share with you that earlier this week I spoke at NYU Langone Medical Center as part of their Heart Health Lecture Series, and I was very gratified to see a big turnout of some of the locals here in Manhattan. And as a way of extending some of that information to you, I've written a summary of that presentation that you can find at drhoffman.com. And you can also find it on social media. We put it out on Twitter and Facebook if you follow us. And it's very, very fascinating because we talk a lot about the microbiome and how important the microbiome is. The microbiome, we're talking about all the bacteria, the literally trillions of bacteria that outnumber us 20 to 1. In terms of their number. We have trillions of human cells, but we have many, many more trillions of bacterial cells that contain a lot of DNA and a lot of information. And these are part and parcel of us as complex organisms. We are more them than us. And they play a powerful role in synthesizing nutrients within us, in signaling to various systems within our body, in creating the potential for health or disease for virtually everything, for our gut health, of course, but also for our skin health, our brain health. There's a brain-gut connection big time. It goes both ways. The brain affects the gut affects the brain. But when it comes to the heart, there's some very powerful connections, and we explored them at this heart health lecture at NYU. And I was pleased to see that NYU is one of the places I trained at during my medical career. And I was very pleased to see them welcoming this kind of dialogue. And we're going to hear more and more about the microbiome. In fact, they have a microbiome institute at NYU, headed up by a guy named Dr. Martin Glaser, who I've interviewed for one of our Intelligent Medicine podcasts, part of our series of interviews with important people in the field of medicine. And so how have we been messing up our microbiome in the last century? Well, we've been taking antibiotics at an unprecedented rate, deliberately, because, you know, for all manner of sicknesses, at the drop of a hat, we're prescribed antibiotics. And many of these conditions, studies now show, can be relatively self-limited. If you take an antibiotic, you'll be better in 10 days. And if you take no antibiotic, you'll be better in a week and a half anyway. So we overuse antibiotics. And studies show that there's a direct correlation between our consumption of antibiotics, either inadvertently in antibiotic-laced meat, poultry, fish, and the antibiotics that we consume deliberately, and the explosion of obesity that has happened over the past 50 years. We drink chlorinated and fluoridated water, which, you know, ultimately chlorine is used to kill bacteria in swimming pools, and well, it does the same thing in our gastrointestinal tracts and changes our microbiome. We overuse acid-blocking medications. We increasingly birth our babies via C-section, which doesn't allow them to be exposed to the vaginal flora that mom has that starts them off the right way in life. They just pop right out of the mom's belly, and it really changes the way that their microbiome develops. We don't breastfeed them. We feed them formula, and breast milk has special substances which are prebiotics that foster the growth of beneficial bacteria in babies and get them off to a good start. We douse everything with antiseptics and antibacterial soaps. We even use them in our toothpaste and mouthwashes, and that damages our microbiome further. We consume chemicalized food, and the emulsifiers in these foods and the diet sodas that we consume wreak havoc on our microbiome. And we gorge on sugar, which really fosters the growth of harmful bugs and yeast in our intestinal tracts. And so we really mess up the microbes in our guts, and that may have consequences for our cardiovascular health, as we'll explore in just a moment. But let's take a call now from Lisa in Detroit. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay, I think. Dr. Hoffman, I'm 69 years old, and I was diagnosed a couple years with a peripheral artery disease in my left leg.
Uh-huh. And were you ever a smoker?
No.
Okay, so that's kind of a little anomalous, because there's a very, very high percentage of former smokers in people who have PAD, or, you know, basically arteriosclerosis in the legs, you know, which causes claudication, difficulty with walking long distances. Are you having trouble covering ground?
Not really, but I do feel some aching in my left calf and maybe behind my left knee.
Yeah, that's claudication.
And sometimes my left foot is kind of cold.
Uh-huh.
Than my,
okay.
You know. Yeah. But I went to a vascular surgeon, and he was throwing these three drugs at me, which I was not happy with, and that was a baby aspirin, something called Plato, and then a statin drug, and I just didn't like any of them at all, so I really haven't done much for it other than to take a cholesterol supplement, hoping that will help with that, even though my numbers aren't extreme or anything.
Yeah. Let's talk about PAD, a peripheral artery disease. You know, I have to say that early on in my career, I was faced with a patient who had bad PAD or claudication. He said he could barely, you know, get to the mailbox, you know, half a block, and he'd have to stop. And the aching in his calves in particular, but also his thighs, just limited his ability to cover ground. And so I just happened to be at a medical conference, and I was having lunch. I was sitting next to a nurse, and I told her, you know, that chattered her up, had some conversation. And she said, "Oh, you should try chelation on that patient." And I said, "Well, I don't even know anything about tell me about that." So she gave me some information, and I started investigating it. And ultimately, I learned how to administer chelation. I started this patient on chelation therapy, and it was a most remarkable result. It really convinced me that there was something to it in terms of enhancing circulation. And it was so powerful that a colleague of mine, who was a peripheral vascular surgeon, who was seeing this patient, called me up and he said, "Ron, what are you doing with this guy? Because I just, you know, I tested him before. He had terrible circulation. Now you send him back to me for a retest." And, of course, I didn't tell him that he got chelation. And his circulation has opened up remarkably. It's almost normal. And the guy reported that he was now walking all over town. You know, he'd go to walk to museums and walk around, and he was virtually uninhibited after a series of chelations. I think I gave him like 30 or 40. So chelation therapy, I think, can be very helpful for that. I know it's controversial, but a recent study showed it was beneficial for the heart. Big study published in JAMA. In terms of things that are less expensive, that involve less trips to an integrative physician, which you may or may not have access to, I would recommend that you consider taking something like arginine or arginine with citrulline. It promotes nitric oxide. Nitric oxide helps the blood vessels open up. I would also take lots of fish oil, because fish oil has an anti-inflammatory effect, an anti-atherosclerosis effect. That could be very beneficial. Consider chiolic aged garlic extract. And when you hear what I'm going to be talking about in just a moment about resveratrol, you want to take some of that. These are some of the things that can make a difference in peripheral artery disease. The other thing is, I find that some patients benefit from carnitine, because carnitine helps fuel the muscle cells. And part of it is, you know, not enough blood flow, not enough oxygen. But part of it is just, you know, simply energy brownout in those mitochondria that power the muscles. And so carnitine may have a beneficial effect in that as well. Some studies have shown that intravenous carnitine is helpful, but, you know, not many people can access that. So take oral carnitine, and you'll get some benefit in terms of walking distance. You know, maybe not a bad idea for you to take aspirin, not the, you know, worst thing in the world, unless it causes you stomach problems. It can prevent blood clots and enhance circulation. And usually people who have PAD also have some cardiovascular risk, so you may want to take aspirin as a preventive. But those are some of the things that I think could make a difference for you. So give it a shot. I hope you have a doctor in the area who treats patients using chelation therapy. That might be a good avenue for you to pursue. I recommend it. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And when we return, more on the resveratrol story. It's really quite interesting how it might work to help the heart. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality, deep, cold water fish using traditional, sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Mom, my nose is stuffy. Can I have some Clear?
Sure, honey. Wow, your child actually asks for a nasal spray? My kids hate the chemical taste.
Well, this isn't a chemical spray. This is Clear.
Clear?
Yep, Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R. It's the natural nasal spray made with xylitol. It has no chemicals, so it's perfect for my whole family.
How does it work?
Naturally. One spray is all it takes. My kids ask for it because they know it works fast, and they even like the taste.
All done.
Do you feel better?
Yep, thanks, Mom.
Why hasn't my doctor talked to me about Clear?
Good question.
Made with xylitol, Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, is the natural nasal spray that's perfect for adults and 100% safe for kids. Clear alleviates congestion caused by colds, allergies, flus, and pollen and dander. One spray is all it takes to keep your entire family clean and clear. So ask for Clear by name. That's X-L-E-A-R at fine retailers like CVS, Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, Sprouts, and Kroger's. Or find a retailer near you at clear.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And we're talking about the relationship between the microbiome, what resides in your intestinal tract, and heart health. And I recently delivered a lecture on this at NYU here in New York City in conjunction with a great young gastroenterologist, Leanne Chen, who I was pleased to make the acquaintance of because she's involved in research on the microbiome over there at NYU. So my alma mater, one of the places that I studied at, has really, really made some fantastic advances in the 30 or more years since I was there. In addition to potentially making you fat, literally, the bacteria in your gastrointestinal tract can make you fat. How do we know that? Well, through a technique called fecal transfer in experiments, if you transfer the bacteria from the intestine of a fat rat to a thin rat, the thin rat will get fat. And part of it's due to the effect on metabolism, and part of it's due to the effect on appetite. The bugs in our intestinal tract actually commandeer our appetite centers and may cause us to eat more. It's really quite fascinating what's going on there. And of course, obesity is a prerequisite to cardiovascular disease. So that's one of the ways that I talk about in my article that you can find at drhoffman.com. But in addition, there's something made in the gut called TMAO, trimethylamine oxide. And trimethylamine oxide is potentially as much of a risk factor for cardiovascular disease as cholesterol or LDL cholesterol or C-reactive protein or homocysteine. It's really among the major risk factors associated with getting a heart attack or stroke. And it is said that people who consume a lot of choline or carnitine, choline comes from fish, eggs, dairy, eggs, and carnitine, of course, comes from meat, that those people make more TMAO. But many studies suggest that meat eaters and even people who consume high-fat dairy and lots of eggs don't have more cardiovascular disease. So what's up with that? Is it about their diet or is it about the bacteria in their gut that convert these foods into dangerous TMAO? And something very interesting came up when they were studying TMAO. There's a natural substance that can inhibit TMAO very nicely, and that is resveratrol. And it may be that the heart-healthy effects of resveratrol are not happening so much in the bloodstream. They're happening in the gastrointestinal tract. Research has found in mice that resveratrol reduces TMAO levels by inhibiting the microbial synthesis of TMAO. So that's very cool finding, is that, you know, say you're eating, you know, you choose to eat meat, you choose to eat dairy, you're definitely going to have a reduction in your TMAO production by taking resveratrol. So we'll talk more about resveratrol and its heart protective effects when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And our number, 877-726-8255. More phone calls coming up.
As an Intelligent Medicine listener, you know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, professional grade, and effective. But vetting your sources and tracking down the exact products you need can be a hassle. That's why I use Fullscript as my online dispensary, so I can send you, my patients and listeners, the exact products you need straight to your door by speedy delivery. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere. The best part, Fullscript sends out refill reminders when you're running low, so it's totally effortless to stay on track with your supplement protocols. Go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to create your Fullscript account, or ask your healthcare provider to sign you up for Fullscript. If you are a healthcare provider, sign up for a free Fullscript account at fullscript.com/intelligentmedicine. Fullscript is the most trusted source for professional-grade supplements. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant, and they offer world-class support. Get started at drhoffman.com and click on the store.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and we're taking your phone calls. 877-726-8255 is our number. In just a moment, we're going to talk about a remarkable new application of resveratrol. You won't believe this story. It's an incredible, incredible breakthrough and vindication for resveratrol as a natural preventer of cardiovascular disease. But first, let's talk to Tony from Florida. How you doing, Tony?
Hi, doctor. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
My pleasure.
I recently had some emotional problems, And I've been prescribed quite a few, for example, lorazepam.
Right. Okay. So first of all, you know, that basically a downer. It's like Ativan. Okay.
Yes, I take lorazepam at night. I kind of assume it puts me to sleep.
Yeah.
I only take usually 1.5 milligram.
Yeah. And that's still a substantial dose. I mean, we start with like even 0.25 milligram in most of our patients if they need that.
Okay. I'd like to run through the main ones quickly and then allow you to comment on them.
Before you run through them, tell me, are they working? Are they helping you? Are you having side effects? You're not happy with the way?
I don't know, doctor. That's exactly why I'm calling. I have mixed feelings.
Yeah.
And it's just impossible to know, you know, that you improved, you know, 2 points over yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. So tell me what you're out of witch's brew stuff. So tell me.
Okay. The lorazepam, as I said, I take in the evening.
Yeah. By the way, how old are you?
I'd rather not say. I'm a senior citizen.
Okay.
Unless you fine.
You
know,
suffice it, because the reason I'm asking that is not to pin you down, but
okay, I'm 81.
All right. So okay, that was hard. I really had to twist your arm about that. Right. Yeah. So I got to say, just before we get into the litany of medications you're taking, it's really a bad idea to prescribe that category of medications to patients who are, say, over the age of 80. Maybe even the age of 75, because these are downer medications, and they can cause people to feel drowsy, you know, feel lightheaded, they can fall, they can also, you know, get scrambled mentally, because, you know, as you get older, you have less, shall we say, mental reserve. A lot of people have a little mild to moderate memory problems and cognitive problems.
I do, but if you'll allow me to interrupt you for just a second.
Yeah, go.
I was taking clonazepam. And clonazepam does not clear the body as quickly as lorazepam.
Right.
So I stopped taking clonazepam.
Clonopin, yeah, right, okay.
So I would say the main drug, I'm on Ritalin. And supposedly they discovered some years ago that people 50-ish and older, when they take Ritalin, they feel better.
Yeah, it's a stimulant. I mean, it's like what kids take for attention deficit disorder, but it's a little bit of a stimulant. You know, now they're giving, a lot of psychiatrists are giving Adderall or Ritalin, to people who feel tired, mentally sluggish, depressed. It's a little bit of an upper. It's an upper.
Right. I've been cleared to take up to 320 milligrams a day. I used to take 40. Now, if I remember, I'll take the third one.
Okay.
And I also am taking Lexapro and Latuda at the same time. I'm taking 20 milligrams of Lexapro and 60 milligrams of Latuda. Whether this stuff is working, Doc, I don't know. I have very mixed. I often want to just walk away from all of them, and somehow in listening to you through the weeks, that I suspect that that's the kind of guy you are, that you would...
Yeah. You're exactly right. You know, and you sound like, you know, you really have a kind of a sensible, balanced approach to this. It's not like you're a refusenik about taking medications altogether. You were willing to give it a shot, but they just haven't delivered for you. And that's the problem, you know, with a lot of current antidepressant therapy. It's effective sometimes. It's partially effective other times. But the vast majority of people who get antidepressant therapy, you know, not kicking up their heels and feeling ecstatic about it. Now, one might argue that, you know, you being depressed, you know, it's just the fact that you don't feel 100% is, you know, you're not excited or enthused about anything, so you're not excited about the results you're getting with your medications. The depression is coloring your impression of the effects of the medication. Okay, that may be the case to some extent.
I am depressed because I've always been a depressed person. But
okay, so you have a predisposition to that. You're a little bit prone to that, yeah.
I'm having severe money problems, and that's
okay. So we can't alleviate that. But let me just expound a little bit on, you know, what we might do. First of all, you know, in looking at patients who have, especially older patients who have depression, you know, we'd do a complete workup on your nutritional status, because it's really important to look at some factors that may impact your mood. Now, number one, diet. Okay, diet is a big effect. So if you're insulin resistant and you might have what's called type 3 insulin resistance, where literally your brain is not getting adequate amounts of energy because, well, sugar is, you know, a fuel that we use a lot for energy in our brain. But it's an unreliable fuel, especially when you become pre-diabetic. So I don't know about the rest of your health status, and I'm not going to get into it on this call, but, you know, we'd evaluate that. Also, you know, we look at the levels of other critical nutrients. You might have issues with methylation where, you know, inadequate levels of folate or B6 or B12 might be compromising your metabolism. You know, that's important to look at. We might look at, you know, the effects of, you know, some other medication that you'd be taking. I don't know what other medications you're on. We do a complete run through of, you know, whether you're taking statins or blood pressure medication or other things that can have a downer effect. We'd look at the effects of the microbiome because the microbiome has a big effect on mood. And, you know, if you have a messed up microbiome, your brain's not going to work properly. We would probably give you things that accelerate brain energy, things like coenzyme Q10 and nicotinamide riboside. These might help the brain function more efficiently. And, you know, lots and lots of fish oil, too, has antidepressant effects. And we need to give those to patients for a period of time, 3, 6, 12, 18 months sometimes to see the results. But EPA and DHA from fish oil are powerful antidepressants, and they really need to be utilized more. So, you know, these are some of the considerations. I mean, I can't tell you exactly what to do based on a quick interview here on the phone, but, you know, surely in Florida there are many nutritionally oriented physicians like myself who, you know about some of these considerations and, you know, maybe willing to undertake a workup on you to look at some other factors that might improve your energy and mood so that you really don't require so much medication. But, hey, you know, the reality of it is, you know, getting older, you know, social isolation, money problems, these are things that really prey on people as they move into their 80s and 90s. And we need to work with, you know, good talk therapy, good social support to alleviate some of these problems. And, you know, biochemically, maybe, you know, you've inherited a predisposition to depression. So you need to have a menu of healthy activities. You need to get out. You need to have, you know, interactions. You need to have exercise. You need to have, you know, an agenda that really helps to engage you and helps to overcome the tendency for your thoughts to darken. So, you know, it's a comprehensive approach to someone who is at risk. You know, being at risk for depression is like being at risk for heart disease or diabetes. There's a whole lot of things you need to do to prevent it from overcoming you. All right. So, I promised earlier, thanks for that call, by the way, and all the best to you, to share with you something really unique about resveratrol. Now, first, I previously talked about how resveratrol works on the GI tract to modify the production of a harmful substance, TMAO, which may be as bad for you as LDL cholesterol or homocysteine or any of the bad things that may make it more likely that you get heart disease. So here's a fascinating development. In people who get stents, millions of Americans have received stents, and they're put in there to open up blocked arteries. But the problem is, in putting in stents, they scar or injure the wall of the coronary arteries. And the result of injury is scar formation. And when scar formation occurs inside your blood vessels, the blood vessels clamp down and you get what's called restenosis or closing of those stents. It's a big problem in cardiovascular medicine. And so what they have developed are what are called drug-eluting stents, stents that are coated with a chemotherapy drug. The drug is Taxol, which is commonly used in chemotherapy for many types of cancer. But when inserted into a blood vessel, it tends to reduce the proliferation of the cells that line the blood vessel, much as they inhibit the development of cancer cells. But is that such a great idea? And essentially, what we're doing is putting little stents covered with chemo drugs into your body, and they slowly release these chemo drugs. Is that such a good idea? Well, it seems to work somewhat to reduce the tendency for stents to close. But here's a novel idea that's being tested out at Louisiana State University. Heart disease stents that are coated with, wait for it, resveratrol and quercetin. This is a fascinating new application of resveratrol, which we know through the French red wine paradox is something that is heart healthy. The French who consume lots of red wine have less heart disease. There's something about resveratrol that seems to work. And we take it orally, and it does help when we take it orally. But here they say in this article, just out, there is a need for stent-based therapies that can reduce the tendency for stenosis. So they did a study, and what they found was the stents that were coated with resveratrol and quercetin reduced the stenosis, or the closing of the arteries, by 65%. So this is a this corresponds to a 60% reduction in inflammation, and the coated stents also promoted recovery of the cells lining the arterial wall called the endothelial cells by 50%. So a very, very cool study suggesting that stents of the future, instead of being coated with chemo drugs, may be coated with more natural substances like resveratrol and quercetin. Meanwhile, you can't get these stents yet, but not a bad idea to take supplements of resveratrol and quercetin for protection of your blood vessels. Very, very fascinating study. All right. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll be right back, taking more of your phone calls and answering your health questions. This is Intelligent Medicine.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Take advantage of everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer. Just go to drhoffman.com. There you'll find cutting-edge articles and resources vital to your health and wellness. Subscribe to the podcast and newsletter to keep Intelligent Medicine content flowing all week long. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients. Finally, become a patient of my practice. I will personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all of our intelligent medicine principles. Or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. She'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Get the intelligent medicine experience. Go to drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating this certified vegetarian probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Health IQ is a company that helps sponsor Intelligent Medicine. It's an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like you, Intelligent Medicine listeners, get lower rates on their life insurance. Health IQ believes the best way to improve the health of the world is to celebrate the health-conscious rather than penalizing those who are not. Go to healthiq.com/Hoffman to see if you qualify. Now let's talk to Daniel. Welcome.
I have a question about probiotics. If you're on it for 2 months and you have a prebiotic diet, why do you need to keep on taking it? I'm thinking about the fecal transplants. Thanks.
Okay. Daniel, you started covering the gamut of questions about how to alter your microbiome. We've talked a lot about the microbiome here on this show, in particular, in reference to my lecture about the relationship between the microbiome and heart health. So how do you change the microbiome? Well, you know, one of the ways is to take probiotics. And probiotics can get in there and modify the bacteria in your intestinal tract. But it's not rocket science how that happens. It's different strokes for different folks. Some people get benefits from one probiotic. Another may get no benefits or even have an adverse effect from the same probiotic. So we don't even have reliable ways to test people to see if they're missing certain probiotics that they can get from supplements. So one of the ways that we can really change the composition of our intestinal tract is through our diet. And it's been found that within 24 hours of changing your diet, say you go from a vegan diet to a very low-grain paleo diet with lots of meat, or vice versa, you change your microbiome. You alter your microbiome dramatically. This can happen, you know, virtually within hours. And you can foster a healthy bacteria by taking prebiotics. Well, prebiotics in foods come from fiber foods, but not from some of the commercial fibers. Psyllium doesn't do the trick. It gives you physical fiber, but what you want is fermentable fiber, fiber that can be acted on by the bacteria in your intestinal tract. So among the supplements that do that, inulin does it. Inulin, sometimes referred to as FOS or fructose oligosaccharides, promotes the growth of beneficial bacteria. And it's also a two-edged sword, because some people who have gas and bloating report a worsening of that when they take lots of FOS or inulin. But it does foster the growth of mostly healthy bacteria and can help to alleviate constipation and normalize the gastrointestinal tract. But ultimately, you know, some people are very resistant to these measures. So there's this concept of the fecal transfer, which involves taking a bacteria from a healthy donor, you know, much as you would donate blood, and giving it to people in need of the beneficial bacteria. Maybe they've lost the beneficial bacteria, so they need, in effect, a transfusion. And it's a poop transfer, basically. And it is actually authorized now for one condition, C. difficile diarrhea. Chronic C. difficile, big problem, because antibiotics are no longer treating it. It's becoming antibiotic resistant, and people are wasting away and even dying of it with chronic diarrhea and malabsorption. And one or two fixes with fecal transfer often cures them. So it is authorized. It's available at major medical centers, but it is not authorized for, you know, people who have IBS or ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease or, you know, feel bloated or, you know, just feel that they have intestinal toxicity. And it's sometimes undertaken as a DIY, do-it-yourself procedure. You can actually find instructions on it on the web, just as you can find instruction on it from ISIS on how to make an IED. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good idea to do it without medical supervision. And it's kind of like hitting a Swiss watch with a hammer. You don't know what the outcome will be, whether it will be beneficial or whether it could potentially be adverse. And there's not enough research yet to justify it, but I think in future we may be using fecal transfer very selectively. Maybe we'll culture certain healthy bacteria and transfer it to people in need of it. And this is just the beginning of a revolution in our understanding of the microbiome, as my lecture alluded to, intense study underway on how to favorably change the microbiome. Right now, you can do it through diet, through exercise, stress reduction. There are simple ways, and I outlined them in a recent article at drhoffman.com. So check it out. Check out Facebook and Twitter, because this program is just the tip of the iceberg of the intelligent medicine phenomenon. You can become a more informed listener to the show by subscribing to our newsletter at drhoffman.com. Check it frequently for new articles and lots of great podcasts. We've had some good ones recently. We're going to roll out one on the effects of media on kids' brains, and at what age should you introduce your kid or your grandkid to cell phones and electronic media. That's coming up next week. So check out drhoffman.com for great content, great podcasts. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the Super Bowl. And we'll be right back next week with more information for you on our weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. It's me, your immune system. I'm always hard at work defending you against the many disease-causing viruses and bacteria that you are exposed to every day. But sometimes I need help to defeat the bad bugs. Luckily, our friends at Kyolic have come to the rescue. Kyolic has two super immune-enhancing supplements, Kyolic Immune Formula 103 and Kyo Green Harvest Blend Immune Defense. Kyo Green Harvest Blend is a power-packed blend of organic and naturally sourced grasses, ancient grains, fruits, veggies, herbal extracts, and spirulina in a fast-dissolving drink mix for a quick and easy way to support immunity. Kyolic Immune Formula 103 combines immune-boosting nutrients with aged garlic extract. Aged garlic extract has been clinically shown to support a healthy immune response and reduce both the duration and severity of cold and flu symptoms. Help me protect you with Kyolic supplements and nutritional drink mixes to fortify your immune health today. Available at fine natural health retailers.